Welcome to episode 79 of the Mommy Beta Podcast. That's right, 79. That's Natalie Sun's editorial comment. He's going to chime in on the show from time to time today, and that is A-okay. We are four new mommies beta testing parenthood, and we write the blog mommybeta.com, and today we're going to discuss transitioning to a big boy bed, how annoying it is when you call your baby easy. I'm sure Zachary has a lot to say about that. Also, daddy's role when new babies join the household, and what you do not want from the grandparents this holiday season. I probably have a few of those things too. So welcome Natalie, and her two boys are also somewhere in the room with her. I'm the other Natalie Morris. She's Natalie Gaffori. How are you today, lady?
We're good. I might have some ambient noise here. I've got Dominic in the room, and Zachary's on my lap. So forgive me if we're a little noisy today.
No worries. I got one asleep as well. So I'm just lucky that she's sleeping right now. But speaking of lucky, maybe we should use that as a transition to talk about this Marissa Mayer story, because, you know, you're trying to do a podcast, you were taking a walk, and babies are not easy. And Alex had sent around this story about Marissa Mayer saying, oh, my baby's so easy. So we'll make sure we post a link to this in the show notes, because I wanted to watch this video as soon as I saw that, and I did. And Marissa Mayer is the CEO of Yahoo. She's the first CEO of a Fortune 500 company to take a maternity leave, have a baby, and then come back, which is very inspiring to all of us who work and have babies and have goals in our personal lives. But yeah, the video is very off-putting, because she's like, you know, everyone told me having a baby would be hard, and wow, it's not hard at all. It's just been surprisingly easy. And I would like to point out that her baby is 2 months or even younger than that. So, you know, at that age, they're sleeping 18 hours a day. But yeah, it's just kind of off-putting when a mom is like, oh, it's not hard at all to be a working mom. What was your reaction to this? Because you had something very strong to say in the email, but why don't you say it to the rest of us?
I had two very different reactions, actually. My first reaction actually wasn't that, the what you just discussed. It was, you know, maybe she, because I had said this before, that newborns are wasted on new moms. Because after having a toddler and a newborn at the same time, I realized how, in comparison, how easy at least a non-colicky newborn can be compared to a toddler. So I thought, well, maybe she kind of relaxed a bit and figured out this whole, you know, newborns who sleep 18 hours a day can be kind of easy in relation to maybe running a Fortune 500 company. And, you know, she has all that help. So, you know, maybe she is stress-free and it's easy. And then right after I had that thought, I thought, man, you know, she's doing that. Maybe she's doing that rose-colored glasses thing where she's like, oh, you know, it's fine, it's easy. Whereas, you know, she's at home and she's bawling her eyes out and it's hard like it is for everybody else. So I don't know. I had two very different reactions almost simultaneously, and I'm not sure which one to go with.
Yeah, I think I gave this a little bit too much thought, because I realized that if she does feel overwhelmed, and we've talked about this before, you're supposed to feel overwhelmed. You're in charge of a person. Their entire well-being is in your hands. It should not be easy, even if the child is easy to love and easy to care for. If you don't feel overwhelmed, you're not really doing the job. That's what I think. But that being said, she can't have a breakdown in public, because that affects the stock price. So even if the baby was too hard, if she were to go in public and say, God, you know, like, I have spit up in my hair right now, and, you know, I get pooped on all the time. It's harder than I thought, and I don't know what I was thinking. That's going to affect shareholders. She can get sued for that. Like, that's, and the shareholders are going to think, God, we picked the wrong person. So she has to say that. But there is some kind of detrimental effect of saying that, because for the rest of us, it makes us feel bad, because everyone knows it's not easy to raise a baby. But also, when you label your baby as easy, when it does eventually get hard and you have challenges in your life, you're going to wonder where this came from. You know, like, I thought that this was supposed to be easy. And I had two relatively easy babies. Like, they're not super fussy. They're not colicky. They sleep when they're good sleepers. But that doesn't just say they don't challenge me in their own ways. And so in my head, if I think, oh, they're easy babies, then I'm going to feel really thrown for a curve when they're not easy.
Right. Yeah, I think that you're right about the whole stock price thing. I had that thought as well. She really can't say that it's hard. On the easy baby thing, Zachary's been pretty good. He, for the most part, is waking up once or twice a night, which is great compared to what Nick was doing at this age. But the nights that he does wake up three times, I'm like, oh, you know? So it's that same kind of thing. You get used to one thing, and then when it switches to another, even if the other thing isn't that hard, it's kind of a shock. So I see what you mean when, you know, she might hit that 6 to 8 week colicky period, and then kind of throw a wrench into all of her easiness.
Right. Not that we don't wish her an easy time but we can't, obviously I don't have as much help as she does. We're not going to be able to, I don't have a Fortune 500 company to run.
Right.
We're not going to be able to relate to her anyway, but she's going to have to be scrutinized. And it's a little annoying that a man could say that his baby was easy, because for men, babies are a lot easier. And a man who ran a Fortune 500 company could say, oh, the baby's not hard at all, because for him, it wouldn't be, and no one would care.
Yeah.
No.
I would be curious to see how much help she has. Like, does she have a night nurse? Does she have, you know, live-in nanny? I mean, she's got to, right?
I would think.
I'd be curious to, because if I had a chef and a live-in nanny and a night nurse and all of those sorts of things, I think having a child would be relatively easy.
Right. But you got to wonder, is she using her boobs? Is she nursing?
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know.
That's not easy. Even if you have an easy time of your milk coming in, it's still a lot of work.
Yeah, especially if you're pumping and right. I don't know. That's actually, I would like to know that. I have all these questions for her.
Yeah.
But she's not talking, she says.
Right. She says, I'm not going to talk anymore about this. And part of me doesn't really care, but I kind of do, you know.
I'm curious.
I don't want to care, but I do. So, okay. Well, like I said, we'll post a link to that in the show notes, and you tell us what you think about that. Should she be running her mouth about how easy it is? And if that's the case, what are we all doing wrong? So let's talk about another thing that is not so easy, transitioning to a big boy bed. I have so many questions for you. So how is that going? You wrote a post about how you transitioned to the big boy bed, and it went pretty well. How's it going now?
So it's still going well, but I do have to say I did jinx myself a tiny bit when I wrote the post. So I wrote the post on day two or three, and he hadn't tried to get out of bed, and it was, you know, just it was going really well. But then the next day during nap, I caught him mid-climb coming down, and I was watching him on the video monitor, so I just marched right in there and said, "Get back up in bed, mister," and he did. luckily he hasn't tried that again. We have been struggling a little bit with naps. He would always play in the crib before he fell asleep for naps. So he's doing the same thing in the bed. And I think I'm just more nervous about it because I think he's going to get out. So I made the mistake for about 3 or 4 days of going in there a few times and being like, you need to lay down and go to bed. And that just caused a power struggle. And, you know, there was a day that he didn't nap at all. And it just wasn't a good idea. So yesterday I told him, and I laid him down, I said, I'm not coming back in. If you drop an animal, you know, it's tough. I'm not going to come back in and get it. You know, I'm not going to come in and get you, or when you cry for me, you're going to be in here for 2 hours, whether you sleep or not. And it was, as I was coming up on the 2 hour mark, he was still playing in there. I was like, oh man, that's a long time to play by yourself. But you know, he was doing fine. And, all of a sudden I looked at the monitor and he had fallen asleep. So I let him sleep for about an hour and a half, and then I went in and got him, which actually turned out to be great because that gave me like a 3.5 hour break.
Yeah.
To play with Zachary and get some things done around the house and do some work. But, you know, it's going well. It's going, knock on wood, don't want to jinx myself again, better than expected.
Okay. Yeah, I liked your post about how you were really nervous about it because I think with a lot of things, the pacifier, the transition off the bottle, all of these things, like we get super nervous about it and they tend to be more resilient than we think. But, you know, there's all the gear that goes along with this. Like, I was wondering if you bought a toddler bed or just a regular twin bed. And did you buy railing separately?
So I was super lucky. We had a neighbor who was getting rid of an old bunk bed set, and they gave us the top of the bunk bed, which already has railings all the way around it.
Oh, okay.
So Yeah, it works out really well. It has a little gap where you, you know, would in theory put the ladder and climb in and out, but we just have a little step stool there. And it's great. It's basically like a twin size crib with a really short rail. The rail is probably about a foot or so all the way around. Mm-hmm. So he's not going to fall out, but he could climb over it if he wanted to. But so far he hasn't. He's never been a climber.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'm still putting him in his sleep sack, even though he's in the bed, because he doesn't necessarily sleep under the covers.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of times he'll fall asleep at the other end of the bed with his head on the other direction on top of all the covers with his animals all piled on top of him.
Mm-hmm.
So you should see his bed. It's like Toys R Us. It's crazy. We've tried thinning it out and he just keeps putting the stuff back in and, you know, he ends up sleeping. So it's fine. He has probably 15 stuffed animals and 5 books at least in the bed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he uses them. And I actually did end up getting a toddler pillow, too, which I should put a link to in the show notes. Because we started out with the regular pillow. And on day 2 or 3, he woke up with a really stiff neck. And he cried. And he said that his neck hurt. And it was really sad.
Poor thing.
So I ordered this toddler pillow on Amazon. And I ordered it at, like, 10 o'clock in the morning. And it was there the next morning. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. So I would definitely recommend a toddler pillow.
Yeah, because he's too little for the big pillow. Cute.
Yeah, apparently. I didn't know.
Okay. And I like this wake up alarm clock. He's been using that for a while though, right?
Yeah, we got that probably a month or two ago. We've always had the problem where he likes to wake up early in the morning, like 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
So what we got is it's called an Okay to Wake alarm clock, and this one's in the shape of a little owl. They have a couple different ones. And basically you set it at a time. Ours is set for 6:15, and at 6:15 it turns from pink or orange or whatever color you have it set to green. And when it turns green, the kids know that it's okay to wake up. So basically our rule is when it turns green, he's allowed to start calling for daddy. So as soon as it turns green, he goes, "Daddy, oh, daddy."
So he understands that concept. That's cool.
Doesn't always wait. Sometimes he's a little early. The only really stupid thing about the design of this thing is that after a half an hour, it turns back to whatever color it was.
Oh.
So if for some glorious reason he sleeps to 7 o'clock, it's not green again. It's not still green, and he's really confused by that.
Yeah.
Because he gets upset sometimes if he's waiting for it to turn green and he doesn't, and we come in there, he's like, "Oh, but it's not green," and he doesn't want to get out of bed, and he's mm-hmm. like, you know, follow the rule.
Yeah.
So that's not the best feature, but from all the reviews, this brand seemed to be the best. There are several of these different, you know, wake up alarm things, and this one just seemed to fit us the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely recommend that if you have a kid who likes to wake up early. And for the big boy bed, you know, he knows that he can't get out of bed if the owl's not green.
Right. What a cute idea. I like it.
Yeah, good idea. And he was about 2.5, maybe a tiny bit more when we started doing it. And he totally understands. So I think, you know, 2.5 is a fine age to introduce something like that.
Yeah. It's Miles. He's still in his crib. And I don't see a reason to change that but just yet. But lately, you know, we've been traveling a lot and we changed his time schedule about 4 times. You know, we changed time zones 4 times during the month of November because we went to San Francisco to visit my family. Then we lost an hour we gained an hour rather for fall forward. Then we went to Hawaii, which is another 3 hours. Then we came all the way back, which was 5 hours. So he was, you know, going back and forth. It was tough in just 3 weeks. And so now he usually was going to bed around 6:30, but I think he's old enough now to move it back to 7 or 7:30. So not only is he struggling to get back on the time zone, it's just a little too early for him. So right. I've had to really be in there. Like, I'll sit with you until you sleep, but you can't fool around. Because otherwise, you know, one night he fooled around till like 10 o'clock at night, which is so late. I couldn't believe he was in there doing that. Yeah, I don't want to make it a power struggle, but I'm watching him on the monitor and I can talk into the monitor where I'm like, "Miles, stay still. Mommy's watching you." You know, I want him to be able to fiddle a little bit, but, you know, for 3 or 4 hours, that's a long time. So then I tried to, like, a boss of mine had told me that they like to read on their iPad sitting next to their child. while they fell asleep, and that gave their child comfort. And I was like, maybe I'll try that. So I tried that last night. And then he's like, I want to play Pad Pad. so I was like, well, that didn't work either. Or I'll try and like lay next to the crib until he falls asleep. And Jennifer had said that Elle likes her to hold her hand while she falls asleep.
Oh, that's cute.
And she was like, you know, bad mommy for starting this habit. But she had told Tom, well, I'm just going to do it because she's not going to want me to do it forever and I'll miss it.
Aww.
And so part of me was like, well, maybe I should do that then. So I'm all in my head, like, what's the best way? He's going to sleep anyway. He's still a pretty good sleeper, but I, you know, I'm in between like spoiling him and making it a power struggle. So,
yeah, I mean, I, after doing this power struggle thing for the last couple of days, I would do whatever you can to avoid it. I would either go whole hog and hold his hand or lay with him until you're, until he's asleep, or just put your foot down and say, okay, I'm closing the door. You need to go to sleep. And after, you know, like maybe he'll play in the crib for a couple hours for a few nights, but I really don't think he's going to do that forever.
No, I don't think so either. And he's, and you know, I want him to be able to self-soothe. That's the big message from the, all those sleep books is that they need to know how to self-soothe. So that's not helping him if I stay in there. But at the same time, you know, I do think his, I just need to give him an extra half hour to get him to sleep. And I think then he'll do it himself.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, he might play for a little longer for a few nights, and then he'll reconnect or he'll correct his internal clock.
Right.
It's been kind of hard on him, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas Ava, my daughter, she's 6 months. She took maybe one night. There was one. The first night we got back from Hawaii was really tough because it's 5 hour difference. So they both went to sleep at 5 p.m. because they were so exhausted, woke up at 9:30, and we all stayed up till 11. Like just, you know, I was like, well, maybe we can all go get ice cream or something. So I just, I didn't. There was no place that was open, but I just played with them for a while. So yeah, that's tough. But you kind of accept that challenge when you travel. You have to.
Yeah. How were they when you went to Europe?
That was much easier. When we got there, it took them 2 days, but coming back was easier. It took them maybe a day or two. Okay. So yeah, my kids are little globetrotters. So
they are.
You know, they adjust easily. But I always use this saying. I say they're like dogs. They can smell fear. So if you freak out, they're going to freak out. If you don't.
I like that.
It's true. It's true. And people on planes are always like, wow, your kids are so well behaved. And I'm like, that's because I'm zen about it. If I freak, you know, they're going to freak too. So.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah. So speaking of travel, we can talk about this post that I wrote about Secret Admirer, because while we were sitting near the pool in Hawaii, Ava turned to Clayton and she locked eyes on him and said, da, da, da. And she's been calling him that. You know, it's a little bit young for her to say a word, but she said it a few times and only for him. And I was kind of surprised that her first word would be his name, because she's been my little shadow for the last 6 months since she was born. She's very attached to mommy, but she loves her daddy and she's always smiling at him. And I wrote this post because I thought that maybe other daddies of subsequent babies might be having this issue. Because when she was born, I felt like Clayton wasn't really quite as, I want to say, connected to her as he was with Miles. When Miles came out, they were instant besties. But then the new baby comes, and I thought, oh, maybe he just didn't want a girl, or he just doesn't remember what it's like to take care of an infant. So it was a lot of talking in our house where I was like, do you just, you know, are you just not into a girl, or what is it? And he's like, I finally realized that he felt more valuable with the toddler because he knew Miles, he knew his routine, and he thought that taking care of Miles was taking responsibility off of me. Did you feel any of that?
Well, that was kind of our game plan going into it. That's kind of what I expected. You know, that Sean would kind of be in charge of Dominic when he was around. And I would focus more on the baby. You know, of course we switch off a little bit, but you know, like Sean was the master diaper with Dominic. He was, you know, he was the pro. He got way fewer leaks than I did. He was a great diaper changer. And with Zachary, I asked him to change a diaper yesterday and he couldn't remember how to do it.
Really?
Because we're using the pre-fold cloth and he went to put the cover on and he was like, I can't do it. So obviously he's not changing very many diapers these days. And that's partly my fault because we have like this crazy mix of diapering systems. So I usually just do it because I never know if I'm going to be using a pre-fold or if I'm going to be using a, you know, an insert diaper pocket.
Yeah.
So, and they all fit kind of differently. And yeah, so that's my fault because I've just been like, okay, let me do it because this is going to be confusing to you. But he has been much less hands-on than Zachary with Zachary. And that's, it's just kind of a, you know, necessity because, you know, we're running man-to-man defense at this point. So he's, you know, he puts Dominic to bed. I put Zachary to bed. Yeah. I mean, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, Dominic's still getting plenty of time with me during the day. And I try to, you know, I hand Zachary to Sean when he gets home in the evening and he spends some time with him then. So he's not getting as much Zachary time, but I do still feel like they're bonded. And I feel like, you know, Zachary knows his daddy and his daddy knows him. It's just a little bit different than it was the first time around.
Yeah, and I guess I was just a little sensitive about it. And in talking to other moms, I realized this is not uncommon to think like, oh, you don't love this baby as much as you love the first one. And certainly not true. But he also felt like, oh, you know, she loves me. She knows when I walk in the room. But, you know, and is she really that connected to me? And the fact that she said his name first, I was like, then you don't realize she's been watching you all this time. You don't realize that she's your sort of secret admirer.
And we won't tell him that it's just easier for babies to say dada than mama.
He knows that. he does know that. And Miles said mama first. So.
Really?
He did.
Oh, Dominic said owl before he said mama.
I remember.
And shoes.
I remember. Yeah. Clayton denies that he was saying mama, but he was saying mama, you know, a lot earlier than anything else. So he can suck it. But yeah, so I just thought that it might be, and you know, kind of valuable to share with second-time daddies that even if they feel like the baby is maybe, you know, attached to mommy because that's the game plan, they still are loving you from afar, even if you don't know it. And to second-time mommies, you realize that, you know, the dad's just trying to insert himself where they feel valuable. I'm sure it'd be hard to be a daddy and not know exactly where to be valuable when a new baby comes because you don't got a boob, you don't have the diaper system, you didn't, you know... You haven't sort of set up the whole systems, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sean's been really good, though. I have, you know, we talked before about, you know, you had said you want to just be able to leave the house and not have to give a million instructions and make all these bottles and this and that. And we've been working on that. And I have, you know, I can just leave the house and say, okay, you know, maybe there's a bottle in the fridge or maybe there's not. And I know he knows how to make one if he needs one and he kind of knows what the schedule is. So I think Sean has been more useful than he knows. So it's okay for him when I walk in the room and he's looking at Zachary and he's going, da-da. Da-da, da-da. Mm-hmm. So I'll let him say da-da first. I'll let him coach him to say da-da first because he's done a really good job.
Yeah, we need to give them the win sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you and I have been emailing each other a lot, and I think we should share this in a subsequent post about baby food as well because that's something that now, you know, you can't – once they start solids and there's a whole new system to implement. And Clayton's been really good about feeding Ava and knowing where the food is. But since now we're all trying to be plastic-free, especially heat plastic-free or free of heating any plastics, now we've sworn off our babas. Our baby cooks. So we're trying to come up with a new solution, and I think that's worthy of a post. So we'll just tease that for the future on mommybeta.com, and if anyone has any solutions that they really like, let us know, because I think I'm going to pull the trigger today on a food mill. That's my next.
Ooh. Are you going to get that one that you sent around?
Probably. It's a bit pricey.
It is. That was the only thing. It's like $80.
Yeah. But you know, really I did wish I had it for Thanksgiving for mashed potatoes. So it's something that I want anyway.
Mashed potatoes is a little bit chunky. I think it would make mashed potatoes too creamy, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I see them do that on, like, you know, Top Chef and stuff.
Oh, do they?
Mm-hmm. So
it looks hard to clean. I'll be interested to see what you think about using it. It seems like it might be a little bit of a pain to get all the gook out of.
Yeah, I know. But it's dishwasher safe. So,
oh, that's true.
You know, you can
take
it apart and put the pieces in the dishwasher. But yeah, I'm worried about things with skins, like, I don't know, squash.
It just takes the skins and the seeds out.
Yeah,
it's nice. I used to puree my apple. I used to cook the applesauce with the skins on and cook the apples with the skins on and then puree them. but then strain them to get the big pieces of skin out because I wanted the nutrition from the skin, but I didn't want the big hunks of it. So this, I might be able to skip the step of straining it.
Yeah. Oh, see, I was peeling it, which is a pain in the backside.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. Peeling apples is my least favorite thing
to
do.
Me too. Hate it. Hate it. So, okay. Well, you know what? We're going to talk about this more in subsequent Mommy Betas. So let us know what you think at mommybeta.com, or you can email us mb@mommybeta.com or Twitter, Facebook. We're Mommy Beta there as well. So let's close out the podcast with this fun post about what not to buy my kids this holiday season. And this is a fun post, kind of an open letter to the grandparents too. Please don't buy junk. And please don't buy anything alive. It's a funny post. Did you like this?
I liked the don't buy anything alive. I thought that was good. We haven't quite gotten to that stage yet, but I foresee that in the future, that they will have to be warned not to bring home kittens or hamsters or anything of that sort.
Oh, I would freak if that happened. I'd be like, I'm sorry, that's going home with you.
Yeah.
Not staying here.
I feel like that's
going to animal control.
No kidding. I feel that like that about some of the toys that we get. Like, can that go to your house? You know, mm-hmm. They're really noisy things. We have this puppy remote control car thing that is just so loud. I like things that have a volume switch, and this does not. So I said, can that go back with you? And she kind of ignored me and left it here. So I was going to say that I actually, you know, all the grandparents ask, oh, what do the kids want for Christmas? So I sent out things that I thought would be good, and all of the grandparents decided to get different things. So I'm like, okay, well, you don't need to take my suggestions. It's okay. I had asked my mom for a little indoor trampoline for Dominic, and I think it was actually her idea, but then she said the more she thought about it, she was terrified that he was going to hurt himself on it, and then she was going to blame herself for the rest of her life. So... So she actually ended up getting him a really nice different gift, which I won't say what it is because he's in the room with me. But it's just kind of funny because that happened kind of with a bunch of different people. But, you know, we picked something and then it didn't end up that they wanted to get them that, which is fine. They have every prerogative to get whatever they want.
Yeah.
Hope their presents are as enjoyed as the other presents would have been.
You know, I was having this conversation with my mother-in-law over email because we put together an Amazon wish list, and I don't like doing that for things like birthdays and Christmases because I feel like it's kind of anti-spirit of giving. Like, you don't have to put any thought into it. You just click and buy, and it gets sent there. And, you know, I like things that are maybe a little more personal. Let's say I've been paying attention to what you wanted, especially for adults. I love it, but I hate it. Like, I like doing it because I get the things that I want, but then, you know, I just have a weird relationship with it. And she had said, well, I'm not going to buy everything off this list because I like to surprise the parents too. And because it's just as much fun for her when we open it, we're like, he'll love that. Than just buying off their list. And so I think that kind of takes some of the fun out of it for her. And I felt bad for her, you know, in that situation because she puts a lot of thought into the holidays. Whereas my mom's like, use my credit card, spend, you know, this much money and get this stuff for the baby. So then I just choose it. And that's fine too. But I know that it's tough for them. And I love the point here about like, nothing that doesn't turn off immediately when you push off. And that I can relate to so much because there's this toy that we have, this like talking dog where you push it off and it's like, bye-bye, you know, thanks for playing. And I'm like, shut up, I said shut up. Where you want to take a sledgehammer to it.
We have this Melissa and Doug puzzle that has animals. And then when you put the pieces in, it makes the animal sound. It's a, you know, a dog and he says, woof, woof, woof. But the problem with it is the technology behind it is just bad because you'll be in the other room and it'll start barking or cock-a-doodle doing for no reason. So we've actually hid it in the garage and we're hoping that he doesn't ask for it. That's our strategy is we hide something in the garage for a week or so, and if he doesn't ask for it, it goes in the trash. Or this might
donation,
I can't decide,
or recycling,
I can't
decide, you mean?
If I want to donate this
because it's so annoying.
Because it's so annoying. I don't know if anybody wants to have this in their house. So I'm actually on the fence about that. I was thinking about it the other day. Do I want to throw it away or do I want to donate it?
Yeah.
So Yeah, I identify with the nothing without an off switch.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure I can come up with a lot of other things. And, you know, you don't want – and then what if they show up with something that's kind of furniture-like and you're like, that's ugly. I don't want that here. It's just tough because, you know, they are giving out of their heart. And so right. This post is kind of forgetting that they're buying because they love these children.
Right.
And we can really be scroogey about it as parents because we're like, oh, God, I don't want that, you know.
And some of the best things are surprises. Like last year, Sean's mom got Dominic this kind of jungle set thing, and he loves it. It was, you know, something I'd never seen before. I hadn't asked for it. I didn't even know that he'd particularly like it. And we put it together, and he plays with it almost daily to this day.
Oh, cute. So,
that was, you know, and that was another thing. We were surprised, and I see your mother-in-law's point on that. It was as much fun for us to see him love it as it was for him to love it.
So right. Then it becomes political, like, you know, towards the end of the year when it's time for a birthday or another Christmas, Clayton and I will go through and have Miles choose things that he wants to donate. So he has to choose the toys himself. And then if he picks things, Clayton will be like, well, no, my mom got that. So we can't, you know, whereas anything that my parents got is okay to give away. And then, you know, that's another whole nother political situation that's not worth discussing at this point. So, anyhow, well, you know, hopefully your Christmas goes off without a hitch and, you know, there's no annoying toy giving, but we just have to remind ourselves that there's a good heart behind every gift.
There is.
So, well, we got to wrap up. I have a 6-month appointment to take my daughter to. So I can't wait to. She's big. I know. I can't. I love those appointments where you put them on the scale and you get all the numbers and you're like, what's the percentile? So that's in my afternoon. I hope you have a fun afternoon planned with your little ones. It was good to talk to you. Again, you can always write us at mommybeta.com. Comment on any post you'd like, and we'll put show notes from this podcast. Thanks for listening and have a great week, everyone.
Bye, everybody.